our friends over at Chico Velo, supporting bicycling education and advocacy since 1980. Chico Velo encourages you to ride your bicycle and park it safely at their bike valet when available at the Thursday night market, the Saturday farmers market, and more. For more information, visit chicovelo.org. You can also find them on Facebook. All right, we're going to have a fun show today, namely because the Niners didn't lose this past weekend, so we got that going for us. All right, baby, it's time. As Russell Wilson would say, let's ride.
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You know the drill. Talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. Your man, Jarrell Gilbert, alongside me. The one, the only, our resident degenerate, Rudy Vasquez.
Let's go, baby.
Yo, so, we got a lot to get to.
Indeed we do.
Big football weekend, in both college and the NFL. We have a World Series winner. We're going to get to our foreign correspondent. We got all sorts of stuff to talk about. But I got to start and just remind y'all, if you're just hearing our voices, there's a reason the homie Derek is in London. Our boy Statman Brad watched the Packers game and decided, I can't do this anymore. I'm sick of coming in on Mondays and having this feeling in my gut.
I don't blame him.
So he had to take the week off. So, Brad, we feel you. I understand. I get it. Much love. And hope you feel better, man, because it's not looking good for you boys. Not looking good at all. What the hell is going on in Green Bay? Let's start there.
Oh, man.
Statman Brad decided to take it off because he knew that's where the show was starting. We've led the show the last few weeks talking about what's going on in Green Bay. There's something weird. And to lose to the Lions, the worst... Worst defense in the league. And for Aaron Rodgers to not throw one, not two, but three interceptions and two in the end zone is just something we've never seen from Aaron Rodgers that I can remember. And usually I would say Statman Brad, look it up, but he's not here, so we're not going to do that. But what an awful performance.
Yeah, it was a pathetic, disgusting, embarrassing, because obviously your boy took the Packers.
I was wondering why you're coming in so hot. Yeah, okay, got it.
You got to be joking me, dude. Like, yes, the Packers have lost three in a row. Yes, they're not a good team, but the Lions are worse, in my opinion, and a lot of other people's opinion as well. They played like dog poop, dude.
Yep.
It was like, what the hell is going on? I don't care if they have no receivers. You beat the damn Lions. I don't care if it's at Lambeau or on the road or in a neutral field. Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Fame quarterback, dude. And he didn't get the job done once again.
The interception in the end zone to Aiden Hutchinson, it was just so severely underthrown. Right? I mean, I just couldn't believe what we were watching. Now, of course, we don't know, was the receiver supposed to run a different route?
Yeah.
We have no idea.
No clue.
But obviously, Aaron Rodgers and that team are not on the same page on the offense. His wide receivers are not on the same page. I do not understand why they got away from the running game, because that's the one thing we saw a couple weeks ago against Kansas City that seemed to be effective. Mm-hmm. And we just, this is not what a former... defending MVP typically looks like.
Defending. Yes.
Defending. Yeah. It's not like Aaron Rodgers is way past his prime. He was the MVP of the NFL last year.
Exactly. It's not like he's been off the wagon or hasn't played like this for quite some time.
Yeah.
Homie just won the MVP last year, dude.
Just last year.
And it's like, I'm really interested in where this team is going, because they're not going anywhere this year. And right. Aaron Rodgers is on his way out. So what? I don't know what direction they're going to be going. The head coach might get canned this year because they're not doing anything. Yeah, we'll see. And to make it even worse, Gary's out for the season, I believe. And then Aaron Jones's x-rays on his ankle came out negative, which is, you know, huge for them.
Yeah.
But still, it's embarrassing. Green Bay sucks. They always will suck. They're not going anywhere anytime soon. And I'm kind of happy to see that, you know, because as much as I do respect Aaron's game, but he hasn't done a damn thing this year. So,
and I believe he is signed on
four more years.
I'm trying to look this up. I believe it's 4 more years with a guarantee of $150 million.
Yeah, dude. So, wow.
Yeah, I mean, this is typically what the end looks like. And, you know, we were talking about the end for Aaron Rodgers, I think, 2.5 seasons ago. 3 seasons ago, he had not the greatest season, and that's when the Packers drafted Jordan Love as his replacement. We haven't seen much of Jordan Love. What we've seen has not been good. But after that, Aaron responded with 2 MVP seasons, and now I don't know if it's a lack of motivation. I've never done ayahuasca. I don't know what visions he had in the off season.
That's supposed to make you a better person, supposedly, right? Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
You're supposed
personally.
To find yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe he found out that he is.
He doesn't need football.
Yeah.
Yeah, he needs to, like, go out in nature, which is, hey, do what you got to do, but. When a franchise is going to pay that amount of money, homie, you come out and ball out, dude. And you don't throw 3 picks to the damn Detroit Lions and lose 4 games in a row.
Yeah. It's tough. He signed a 3-year extension.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. A 3-year extension that takes him through 2026. And with a $40 million signing bonus. So.
Your boy's going to be there. Or he could just retire, but he probably won't do that.
I mean, I'm not turning down that money.
Yeah, you're right.
As much as I would like to say that I would turn down that money, I'm not turning down that money. The Jets.
Oh, my God.
Jets. What's going on there? The Jets with the big win. Talk about this weekend. If you are a gambler and you are taking the favorites, or you had him in any type of parlay or teaser?
Like I said last weekend, this was my teaser weekend. Mm. And it was the most embarrassing morning slate of all games, because I think there was 8 or 9 games in the morning at the 10 a.m. slot.
Yeah.
I literally went, I think, 0 for 5 or 0 for 6.
Mm.
Yeah. Anywho, going back to the Jets, it doesn't matter. Yeah, dude.
6-3 to start the season. Whew. They just knocked off the Bills, who seem to be the consensus pick from all the analysts in the offseason to win the Super Bowl. Certainly to come out of the AFC. And they have, at times, absolutely looked like juggernauts.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But in the last 4.5 quarters, I think it was, our man Josh Allen has thrown 4 picks and had 2 fumbles lost. Mm-hmm. And Josh Allen, for everything he's done great in the last 2 years to really turn around the trajectory of his career, because his first year, I remember getting into a very long and heated argument with our boy John Lucan about Josh Allen. I was like, dude, he's trash. He's inaccurate. You can't fix that. And he was like, he's going to be great. Just give him time.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. We were both right, because he was trash his rookie year.
Oh, he was.
And he turned it all the way around. And he was the front runner coming into this season for MVP. He was the odds-on favorite to win the MVP. But he's still been turnover-prone, and he's had more dropped interceptions, I believe, than anyone else in the league besides Jimmy Garoppolo.
And Patrick, too, or no?
Patrick Mahomes, yeah.
Is it Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah.
Probably Jimmy G as well. All those guys are in the top 5 in that category. Yeah, dude, the Jets defense is for real.
The Jets defense is for real. We still don't know if they have a quarterback. Zach Wilson didn't do much yesterday. But that running game came alive, even with Breece Hall down for the season, which was really unfortunate for a team on the rise. But shout out to our guy Robert Saleh, former defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers. This is his first head coaching job. This is his second season with that team. And I don't know. I don't think they're going to contend for the NFC East. I think the Dolphins and the Bills are better than them.
As of right now.
Yeah, and provided, you know, all things remaining equal without any significant injuries to those three teams, I think that the Jets are in third place out of those three. Mm-hmm. But still, to be 6-3 in your first nine games, to start the season like that, for a franchise who the last time they had anything to be happy about was when Mark Sanchez was their head quarterback and their head coach had a known foot fetish.
Good old Rex Ryan.
So, and was more concerned about getting an effing snack than winning an effing game towards the end. No, I loved Rex Ryan. That was actually a really good Hard Knocks. But
that was probably a top five Hard Knocks.
That was a good one. Yeah.
But the Jets are for real, man. Their defense is solid. John Lucan did sit in our group chats. Shout out to the Laces Out boys. Those guys know their stuff. College football, especially every sport, dude. Great positive vibes with them. So I appreciate you guys throwing me on that thread. John did say, imagine the Jets with the quarterback right now. They'd be scary. A lot scarier than they are right now.
Yes.
If Zach Wilson can somehow turn this around, they could contend, dude. But at the end of the day, I don't think he's going to, because he hasn't shown a damn thing this year whatsoever.
Well, when he says imagine them with a good quarterback, I could say the exact same thing about the Niners for the past 5 years. But I get it. Yeah. If they could be, you know, perennial contenders if they did have a quarterback. But again, you could say that about just about every team in the league. Mm-hmm. If they figure out that one piece,
the most important position on the football team.
Right. There is no better indicator of having a contending team than to have a team in which you have a franchise quarterback on a rookie deal.
Yeah.
Because then you could really build around that team. Look at what the Rams were able to do with Jared Goff, who wasn't even great, but the team they were able to put around him because they had the money to spend. Mm-hmm. Go back to the Legion of Boom with Russell Wilson when he was on his rookie deal.
That's a dream come true situation, you know, but not every team is that lucky.
No doubt to
find that guy, that one guy that could take that franchise to the next level.
What the Jets do need to figure out this season is, do you have a quarterback? That's why I don't think it makes any sense to go back to Flacco, because you know he's not the future, right? So you figure out, you just let Zach Wilson start and win or lose you games, mm-hmm. but you got to see what you have in him,
exactly.
Because teams are turning over quarterbacks quicker than ever. I mean, Josh Rosen had, 1 year as a starting quarterback?
I don't even think he lasted a whole year.
Very next year was replaced by Kyler Murray. I mean, this is kind of the way of the NFL now. You got to show and prove in a hurry or you're out of there.
Yep. You have 1 or 2 years tops max.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Jets were in that position to draft him, right? I think they were number two. I don't think they drafted up to that position, correct?
Yeah, they were number two that season.
So comparing to us, we gave up the farm for Trey Lance, and we have to wait another damn year to see what the hell he's going to be doing.
Right.
So, it's another...
that one's brutal.
Yeah, but we'll see. We'll wait till next year on that one.
Oh, man.
But going back to the Jets game, Vegas had to fix it on this one, man. I don't know if you saw the last play of that game.
Boy.
Josh Allen threw that 40, 50-yard bomb to Davis. And Gardner was all over. I'm pretty sure it was Gardner. That was
Sauce Gardner was Gardner. Yeah,
that was on PI
coverage.
All day.
That was
the most blatantly damn thing I've ever seen in my life.
It also did hit Gabe Davis in the chest.
But still, though.
Granted.
Yeah.
But it did hit him in the chest. He had the opportunity to make a play on the ball. There is also a PI not called for Chase Claypool for the Bears in the Bears-Dolphins game that if that gets called, the Bears are probably kicking a field goal, winning that game, but it wasn't, and, you know.
And same thing with the Chiefs last night.
Yep.
To get that 2-point conversion.
Yep.
How many times have they had, like, 4 damn tries?
Yeah.
And that offensive, or that defensive holding on Kelsey? Dude, that was, I mean, I was all up for it. I had him at the over at 38 points. So I'm like, dude, I need every damn point. They obviously finished off the game with 37, of course. But, yeah, 3 damn tries. Dude.
So it was a tough weekend of gambling for you.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it happens.
Sunday was.
Yes.
Saturday, the boys at Laces Out gave me some bomb picks.
And, okay.
Yeah, so I did have some ammo going into Sunday, so it wasn't that brutal, but for my own picks, yes, it was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life. Shout out to the Raiders. Yeah, can we talk to the Raiders about real quick?
Let's talk about it.
17-0, homie?
Yep.
17-0.
To the Jags.
To the Jaguars,
yep.
Bro.
Yep.
Trevor Lawrence, he's going to be good, but he's not good yet. That whole team is on a rebuilding mode. They'll get there eventually, I think, but to blow this third time this year that the Raiders have blown a 17-point damn lead. Why and how in the hell did that happen, dude? Josh McDaniel, those guys need to figure something out, dude. But, yeah, Adams had a great day, finally. He balled down the first – he had a great day. So I'm like, okay, let's go. And then, boom, nothing after that.
I don't know what to do. If you're a Raiders fan coming into this season, you have all the hope. You just signed a guy in Davante Adams, who is considered top 5 wide receiver in the league coming 100%. Into this season.
Oh, yeah.
A dude who doesn't drop the ball at all. And you, the Raiders have a potential out in 2023. With
Derek Carr.
Derek Carr. Yeah. They do have him on the books until 25, but there is a potential out. They would have to pay him $25 million, essentially, of dead cap money.
They'll probably do that. They need to do that.
I mean, you just... Well, it's one of those things, right, where you just... You are who you are at this stage in the game.
Yeah.
And I... You know, it's similar to how I feel about Jim Garoppolo, right? I don't hate him. I don't hate watching him all the time, but he is who he is, and he's just not the dude. He's not dynamic. He's not the dude who you can go and ask to win you a game on a regular basis. Is he going to have some fourth quarter comebacks? For sure.
Yeah.
Is he going to look good in some spots just like Derek Carr? For sure. But he's also going to have some stinkers, and to get absolutely blitzed the week before and shut out against the Saints – against Andy Dalton in 2022, right? The Red Rifle in 22, you're getting shut out. And to follow that up with blowing a 17-0 lead and losing to the Jags, it's just unacceptable. And I don't know that that team is, I mean, they're obviously out of it for the season.
Yeah.
And for Raiders fans, I honestly feel for them because, like, where does your hope come from?
It's just that Raider Nation, dude. They love that team so damn much that they don't care if they suck or they're the best team in the world. But
I imagine they care that they suck. I would imagine.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean. I feel for them, dude, because that was that one dude as well in the beginning of the season. Like, Raiders might have a shot this year, especially getting with Adams and Josh McDaniels. Come on.
We all went into the season thinking the AFC West was by far the best division.
Yeah, them and the damn Broncos as
And there's one good team in that division.
Yeah.
The Chiefs. It's the same team that have been good. I mean, the Chargers are okay.
They're okay, but they have so many damn injuries on that team.
Yes.
So we can't hate it. But they still got a W this weekend. Justin Herbert did show up. Eckler's the truth, like we all knew that he was.
Yep.
But, it's the Chiefs all day, and then the Chargers, which are like a half a team right now with all the damn injuries. They went in there with no receivers whatsoever. Top two guys were out and somehow pulled out a win on the road. So, shouts to them. But yeah, it's going to be interesting offseason for the Raiders for sure. They're going to cut Derek Carr, but there's way more issues with that team besides Derek Carr. The whole defense is trash. The O-line isn't that good as well. Josh Jacobs did turn it around. He's having a decent year stat-wise, but still can't damn win the game, dude. So we'll see what happens.
I have to do this because we're talking about really sorry team, so I had to do this real quick. Give me 1 second. Yeah. All right. And if you don't know, you know. All right, I know Brad is gone. We missed that man, Brad, but we got to get a useless stat of the day. I actually stole this from Mike Schur on the Dan Le Batard show, so credit to him. But this was just too good. So yesterday in the Colts-Patriots game, if you're unfortunate enough to have to watch that slop, I'm sorry. The Colts had 121 yards in offense.
Total.
Oh. That is less. Those stats are worse than Justin Fields yesterday.
Oh, he balled out, dude.
Who had 123 yards on the ground by himself.
Continue.
No, that's it, the stat. That's the stat. Justin Fields threw for more yards than the entire Colts offense and ran for more yards than the entire Colts offense.
It's the Colts for you, dude.
It's been tough, man.
And then obviously we all know Frank Wright got fired. About time.
Yep, Jeff Saturday is now
That came out of left field, dude.
I think they're basically going, hey, did you play for Peyton Manning or with Peyton Manning at some point? Cool. You come coach
he's
us.
He's a smart dude. He played,
Frank Wright, same thing. You used to play with Peyton Manning, right? Yeah, you can come coach us. It's all good. We're familiar. Real quick, I just wanted to hit a couple other things here. I'm not impressed by the Vikings. Their record looks great. No one's afraid of Minnesota in the playoffs.
No one's afraid of Kirk Cousins.
I don't care how fun that video was of him on the airplane with all the drip on and just,
the
chains.
Though.
It was funny.
With no shirt on, that dude had probably had 200-300K on his neck.
Yep. Yeah, it's a great video if you haven't seen it, but I don't fear them.
No, I don't think anyone does.
Who are the teams that you think right now, if you're just taking flyers and you get a free $100, you get to spread it around for a couple bets for NFL futures. Who are you taking as your betting favorites right now?
I'm going to have to take the Niners, dude. Niners are getting healthy at the right time, and we got CMC. So, Niners have to be that one team. Let's see. The way that they played last night against the Titans. Yeah, the Titans defense is good, but it took Patrick Mahomes to throw the ball 68 times, bro.
Yeah,
to beat them by 3 points.
Yeah.
In overtime with the refs' help.
Yeah.
The Eagles too. I know the Eagles are undefeated, but they struggled against Houston, man. And they really haven't beaten anyone yet. They might go undefeated the whole season and lose week one in the playoffs.
So the Eagles did beat that team I was just talking about in the Vikings that I don't believe in.
Yeah, that's probably the best win
they 100%. Have. Let me give you Vegas odds real quick because the top six, a couple of them are kind of surprising to me. You have the Buffalo Bills at +291, so they're still the heavy betting favorites, with the Eagles right behind them at +500, Chiefs at +530. Now, here's where you start to get your value, and here's the number four team as far as betting odds favorites to win the Super Bowl, your San Francisco 49ers. Now, this is good. I like the value here. +1140 for the Niners, +1200 on FanDuel, followed by the Cowboys, the Ravens, the Vikings, the Tampa Bay Bucks, and the Dolphins. There's some good value in the middle there because I think any of those teams, I don't believe in Dallas. I do believe in their defense, though.
Yeah, their defense,
their defense is great.
If Dak could play great. Because Tony Pollard has shown that he could be the RB1. If Dak Prescott could play that at a high level, the Cowboys could be
could be a problem.
Yeah, a threat.
They could be a problem. But yeah, I like the value for the Dolphins. I think that number is still really high for Tampa Bay because even though they've started off 4-5, they're probably going to win that division and get in the playoffs. And then you have Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So
he showed it last night.
You never count those guys out.
He showed it last night. We had 9 seconds on that last drive and they damn won the damn game.
Yep. Unbelievable.
That was fun to watch because obviously I hate the Rams. So if Cooper Kupp just would have scored right there instead of sliding down, the Rams would have won that damn game. But no. TB12 came out and won.
Yeah. It's rough. It's rough.
If I could only be at Kent's house to watch that game, that would have been.
Yeah, let's move on. Talk a little baseball. The World Series is over. We have avoided an economic crash by the Phillies losing the World Series. As I mentioned before on this show, yeah. Every time the Phillies have won the World Series, we have gone into a giant recession. 1929, the Philadelphia Athletics. 1980, the Reagan recession. In 2008, the housing crisis. And this year, you're welcome, America.
Yeah.
We rooted hard for the Astros, and we got it. The Astros end up winning the World Series. The Astros have been to 6 straight ALCSs, which is just incredible. And I think the biggest win, besides for America, I was just happy for Dusty Baker,
I think the whole baseball world is, dude. Dusty's been a great manager for, I think he's managed, what, 4 or 5 teams?
Yeah.
Obviously the Giants for all those years and whatnot, getting close against the Angels. But yeah, Dusty finally won one, man. So shouts to him, dude. He's a great manager, great dude. Still hate the Astros. I was rooting for Dusty, obviously, not the damn Astros. They do have a squad and a half, dude. Their lineup, their pitching staff, the whole damn team, and they built that team from the ground up. So I don't know why in the hell they needed to cheat that one year that they did cheat. But that's another story. But yeah, Astros won one for Dusty. Shouts to him, man.
Dusty Baker has been he's the only manager to be fired 3 different times coming off a season where they won 90 games for the crazy. Giants, the Reds, and the Nationals.
Oh, wow.
To the Nationals' defense, they did win the World Series the following
year.
Yeah, so, you know, that one's kind of tough, but the rest, like, yeah. It's nice to see our guy get the dub because Lord knows he deserved it. So
100%.
After many, many years in baseball and many, 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 many disappointing seasons, to end up on top like that is huge. So shouts to Dusty Baker.
Yeah, he finally got one. Shouts to you, brother.
And again, shouts to America because we have avoided economic ruin
as of now.
That's
a whole different conversation,
right?
We're not going to get into that on this show.
Let's talk just a real quick. Speaking of America, the best thing I saw from this past weekend, I think it was yesterday, was during the parade, the Astros parade, Ted Cruz was there for some reason and he was getting booed, and I absolutely loved that. One thing you never expect to see at a championship parade is anyone booing for any reason.
Yeah, at all.
And Ted Cruz absolutely got booed. He did get a whole beer thrown at him. I don't condone that. But I do.
It's hilarious.
But though, the booing,
yeah.
I am all for.
Yeah, 100%.
I really love that. With voting day tomorrow across the states, I thought that was just brilliant. And it's just something I cannot ever remember seeing in my lifetime at a championship day parade, having the crowd boo anybody.
Thousands of people booing,
and it was a thing of beauty to watch.
Well, shouts to the Astros fans for that one.
Yeah. Guess who's becoming an Astro fan? This guy over here.
easy.
I do want to give, or I did want to ask you real quick before we move on here. What do you expect from the San Francisco Giants this offseason? Obviously, super disappointing season to follow a season in which they had the highest win total in a regular season ever in franchise history, and a disappointing out to the Dodgers in the NLDS, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And then just to have a season this year where they're constantly floating around 500. Started the season okay.
Well, we started the season hot.
Yeah, and then it just went down. Fell apart.
Jock Peterson was batting lights out, dude. He was averaging over 300, hitting bombs left and right, and then the All-Star break happened, and then God knows what happened after that.
We're all still confused.
Yeah, but anywho, that is last season. The season's over, but next season, our president, man, saying that we have the money to spend. So let's spend that damn money. I've heard left and right. I've heard Yankee beat writers saying that Aaron Judge will be a Giant. I've heard other commentators, sports analysis say Aaron Judge will be a Giant. Mm. So we'll see. I hope he is. I just don't want to overpay for him because the dude, or I don't mind overpaying for him only if we sign him to like a 3-4 year deal, not these stupid 10-year Albert Pujols, you know, $300 million damn contracts. Now, I'm down to pay, you know, 40-50 mil for the guy for 3-4 years, get him at 30 through like 34-35. So, yeah, if we get him, that'd be awesome. We get a huge bat in an outfielder as well.
Right.
Carlos Rendon did opt out of his contract, so he is going to test the free agency, which I don't blame him. He had a great year, and we got him for cheap. I think we were only paying him like 22. I think 22 mil was his option for the Giants this year. So if we could re-sign him, that'd be fantastic. If not, there's other guys there, but my hopes are high.
Okay.
My hopes are high for the Giants because we just need to spend the damn money.
They're going to have to spend money this offseason if they want to compete.
We don't have any big contracts on our team, and we're an old team this year.
Yeah.
So
if they want to compete with the likes of
the Dodgers,
the Padres.
Yeah,
the Padres been spending all sorts of money. They gotta step it up. So
yeah.
We'll see what happens. But looking forward to a good offseason to bring back some hope to us Giants fans.
Yes,
we need it bad.
Please,
we need it
please.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. We are people-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You are listening to Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk show, the world's greatest sports talk radio show, according to my auntie Ariel. Shouts to her. We're also made possible by our friends over at Baird Roofing. Baird Roofing Company, for a hole in your roof or a whole new roof, Baird Roofing Company has been serving Butte County for more than 30 years. Whether it's an existing structure or new construction, Baird Roofing has got you covered. More information at BairdRoofingCo.com and at 342-1631. Shouts to Baird Roofing, shouts to our friends over at Chico Velo, and most importantly, ladies and gentlemen, shouts to you. Appreciate y'all vibing with us. So because Statman Brad is out, we're going to take a quick little music break, and hopefully when we come back, we'll have Aaron on the line here, as long as I can work the phone. So wish me luck on that, but let's check out the homie Calvin Black with some Good Is Still Good. Sound good?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's get it.
Hey, now we gon' get this thing shaking like the N64 with the rumble pack. All year I've been up and down like jumping jacks, running laps, doing extra reps, got my breath back. Blasting off crazy, Boba Fett with the jetpack, gone in applause. I'm sick of playing humble like I'm not worthy of y'all. Something unprecedented, really, I'm sure of it, dog. New breed, sure to evolve. Crazy, I'm a shepherd, but I still never heard of you all. How you claim deep, but I'm taking it further than y'all. You don't want beef, less than slipping some burgers involved. I am not street, but I seen where the curb hit the road. Overcame feats, but we still got more hurdles to go. And this is that cool still, brother, that the real head's been on. Records still spin on, leverage still real long. Still using reason like Spock was, cause all we really want to do is live long and prosper. Direct the flow so cinematic like Oscars. Skill gap between us dramatic like operas. Confidence stands, got my stature so propped up. Dodging all ops while aligning my chakras. Knocked up, Aerosev, Rogan, how I'm laughing at you. y'all. And I'ma keep applying pressure to this plaques on the wall. Cause I don't think you really gather all the passion involved. It's that through the wire Kanye with cracks in his jaw. And my registration hella late, still I gotta elevate. Making moves like I could never wait, no time to celebrate. Prayers up, hydrate, go hard, meditate. Do better cause good, still good, but never great.
Do better because good's still good, but never great. The homie Calvin Black right there, one of my favorite songs of his. Make sure you check out our friend Calvin, friend of the show, been on many, many times. Speaking of friend of the show, member of the show, let's bring on our girl, Erin, our foreign correspondent. Erin, hello.
How's it going, guys?
We are doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Poor crew here. Who needs anyone else?
Right.
That's right. That's okay. Okay.
Less crew, the better crew, you know?
Less is more.
That's what I'm saying.
So, Erin, I know we're going to switch gears a little bit and talk some professional wrestling here in a second. But before we get to that, will you be able to hang out with us afterwards? Because I do have some good life advice and dating questions. Can you do that today or you got to run?
Guys, I never got anything better to do than your show.
Perfect. All right. Well, let's talk a little professional wrestling. Erin is our expert in all things Paul Brothers. So what took place this weekend that the people need to know about?
You know, I'm not going to lie. It's embarrassing that you said I'm the expert. But you know what? The truth hurts. That's right. Logan Paul was fighting Roman Reigns this weekend. I did think it was really appropriate since his brother was fighting last weekend. So Roman Reigns has come into this match as the undisputed WWE Universal Champion for a historic 797 days.
Damn.
Yeah. So Logan Paul had him on his podcast back in September and said, you know what? I think I can beat him. All I need is one lucky shot. So that's what they've been talking about for like the last 2 months. One lucky shot. That's all he needs. Well, the match started off with a bang. It was very entertaining. The Paul brothers, I genuinely think were meant to be wrestlers. These guys just have it. It's incredibly entertaining. I think it's the most exciting point at the match. I'm sure everyone has seen it by now, right? Logan Paul is up on the top ropes. Roman Reigns is on the announcer table. He has a phone. He videos himself smashing into Roman Reigns, destroying the table. It is epic. I mean, they must have planned this. I'm assuming they did because it was like shot perfectly and it was just like the most impressive video. So if you haven't seen it, go look at it. You know, the selfie video that he did is great, and then just kind of the far shot of it happening live was really exciting. It was happening in Saudi Arabia. I don't know if I mentioned that, but in Saudi Arabia, the title belt, I guess, can never change hands, actually. I don't know.
Huh.
My husband is a wrestling expert. I don't know exactly why, but it has something to do with the fact that it's in Saudi Arabia. And so Roman Reigns obviously won. It was a great show, very exciting. And then we find out afterwards that Logan Paul has torn everything in his knee, ACL, MCL, and I think a ruptured meniscus.
Oh, God, I didn't know that.
Yeah, which is crazy because I went back to watch it and I was like, when did it happen? And you really cannot tell. So mad props to him. His performance suffered in no way because of that.
That's awesome. That is awesome that he got through that. Let me ask you something. So he's out for a while, so we're just stuck with Jake Paul now?
Yeah, I mean, listen, neither one of them is a great choice. I'm not even going to pretend to lie. So I don't know which one is worse.
Well, they're both great at trolling, and that's, feel, a necessary trait if you're going to be a professional wrestler. So we appreciate the update. Let's get to some questions, shall we?
Absolutely.
Okay, I got a couple here that are two sides of the same coin. So let's start with this one, and the title is, Have I Outgrown My Friendships? This guy writes, What's up, boys? And Erin, huge fan of the show. Please bring Erin in on the studio again for her foreign correspondent segment. Me and my wife love Erin, so shouts to you, Erin. There you go.
My favorite fan.
Anywho. The reason for my email is because I fear I've outgrown some of my friends. I'm 34 years old, married with a four-year-old and a baby on the way. Congratulations to you, sir, and your wife. I was the first of my friends to get married and have kids, and I figured my friends would eventually follow suit, but so far, no dice. I like the cut of this guy's jib. I have a circle of friends that I've grown up with that I still hang out with on the reg, but they still have yet to slow down. They go out during the week at least once or twice, and every weekend they hit it hard, whether they are going on a golf trip together or just partying in the city we live in. They are almost always out. Occasionally, one of my friends will host Football Sunday at one of their homes, or I will host a barbecue. But other than that, I do not hang with them as much as I once did. I was hoping their lives would mirror mine at this point, but they are all, except one, still single and still living pretty similar lives to when we were in our mid-20s. Should I say something to them and recommend maybe they slow down a bit and maybe they should look for a woman that they want to spend the rest or that they want to spend more than one evening with? I don't want to get left behind and excluded from events just because I am married with kids, but I also do not have much interest in going out for happy hour on a Thursday when my wife is preggo at home. Is it time for me to realize maybe we've just grown apart and that's just how the cookie crumbles, or should I fight to keep my friendships alive and well? Thanks, love the show. Erin, do you have any advice for a friend who feels he's outgrowing his friends?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm not saying, you don't write them a letter and say, hey, guys, it was nice knowing you. The friendship seems like it has run its course, and you can go out with them when you can and you don't when you don't. And I think, you know, you'll make new friends, and it's not like you have to break up with them. You know, you right. just realize that your life has changed. I wouldn't recommend telling them to find wives, you know.
I'm totally with you there. I mean, I think the best thing is just to let this happen organically. And yes, yeah. you are specifically being excluded because you are married with kids and they're not. And that's not necessarily because they have any less love for you. Their lives are just different. And so when your boys are getting together after work to go grab, you know, a couple drinks and dinner, you're probably going home and either cooking dinner or being, you know, helping taking care of your kid. It's just different. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think you said you've been friends with these people for over 20 years. Continue to be friends. And yeah, one day their lives very well may parallel yours and you'll be more involved. And maybe not. Maybe, you know, these guys will be bachelors and kind of bounce around for the next 20 years and go out on a, you know, random night and have fun. And that's totally fine. I just think, you know, as we grow, you got to kind of let people, you know, fall into your life the way it naturally fits, and you can't force it. But I'm with you, Erin. There's no need to go tell them, hey, guys, you guys should all get married and have kids. That's what you need to be doing with your life. No one wants to hear that.
Yeah, it won't end well.
It will not. Go ahead. Go ahead, please.
It's like, you know, he can revel in the fact that, you know, he has a wife, he has two kids, and you know, not to say that people who have children are better than people who don't, but like, let's not kid around here. You know, they think mm-hmm. they've got the best lives, but do they really? I think they're trying to drink their sorrows away.
Mm. I think it's the grass is always greener, right?
Yeah.
When you're single, it's always like, man, I would love to be in a relationship. It looks so great. And when you're in a relationship, occasionally you're like, man, I'd really love to just be able to do whatever the hell I want right now. And it has no repercussions. It affects no one but me. And that's just not how life works. So
exactly.
I just think it's, well, let's get to this next one because it's almost the exact opposite of the letter we just got. So I thought this would be perfect back to back. And the subject line reads, do I need to grow up?
Wait, is that mine?
Our friend writes in here, "What's up, you big dick Cheneys? This guy gets the show. I love that people have been using that in the in their write-ups. But what's up, you big dick Cheneys? I'll get right to the point. I am concerned. I am immature and need to grow up. Recently, I've noticed that all my friends who are married and have been hanging out a lot more and going to each other's kids' birthday parties and gatherings and events, so on. I will still get an occasional invite if they are going out for drinks or even to a kid birthday party here and there, but for the most part, I'm kind of excluded now. My four best friends and I have grown up together and known each other over 20 years. Here's another. See, this is like the is this one of the guy's friends, yeah. I wonder?
Probably is.
We were practically inseparable most of our lives, but as we got into our early 30s, most of our friends started doing the whole, in quotes, adulting thing and getting married and having kids. I have remained single in part, I believe, because my job is very demanding and requires me to spend about half of my time out of town. It is hard to meet someone who wants to settle with my schedule. Furthermore, when I am around, I have noticed that my friends seem to be getting together a lot more, and I am not getting as many invites as I once did. I will admit that I still like to get after it because my job is so demanding. Occasionally, I like to visit a local watering hole and have a drink or eight. Occasionally, this will happen on a random Tuesday night, whatever. I know this is not something that they would be able to join me for, but I do not get why I'm not getting the invite to tag along to their boring dinner parties and what have you. My question is, do I need to get married and settle into a slower lifestyle in order to get back into their good graces? I love the show. Keep up the good work. Rudy, I'll start with you. Yes, sir.
This is me 101, baby. My advice, I'm assuming you have a professional career. You work your tail off. I do the same. I currently juggle two jobs. I love the party. I do go out randomly throughout the week, and I do have my friends like Jarrell. I'll hit him up. Hey, want to go grab a drink? He'll say yes, say no. My other friends, sure. I'm not going to mention their names. They'll say no because they're married with kids. And sometimes they'll say yes. You don't have to do anything. Just be you, homie. Like, if you're having a good time, if your life is stable, you don't have to grow up. If you feel like you're growing up, you're growing up. But don't feel forced that you need to be in that relationship or get a girlfriend just because all your boys are getting married and yes. relationships, having kids. Everyone has their own lives. So as long as you're having a good time and having a blast with your boys, just continue on that because your time will come. Hopefully, yeah. if not, it's okay too. As long as, you know, you only live once and just live it the best you can.
Agreed. Do you have anything to add to that, Aaron?
Yeah, I would just say if he's really pining after these friendships, you know, that his friends have kids or whatever, you know, you're probably going to have to make the extra effort, which kind of sucks. You know, you're like, that's not fair that I have to go out. But, you know, make the extra effort. If they do these dumb dinner parties, maybe you can host one yourself.
Yeah.
Throw a barbecue on a Saturday afternoon if you have a backyard. Hopefully you have a backyard so they can bring their kids. You know, you'll have to work harder to foster these relationships. Mm-hmm. And if nothing else, bribe their children. Children are easily bought.
Yes.
Easily.
Present.
Oh, yep. 1,000%.
Yeah, no, that last point, I thought everything both of you said was really on the nose there. And I have been someone who's experienced this. You know, I'm getting married a little bit later than a lot of my friends. And, you know, I'll be 38 by the time Steph
really?
And I get married. Yeah.
You're 38 now. Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of my friends started getting married in late 20s, early 30s. They all have kids now. And I am someone who moved away from my hometown while many of them stayed in the area. And so naturally, they just have more connecting points. They've been married. Married couples hang out with other married couples. It's easier. It's just easier. And it's not to say anything's changed. You know, Steph and I still go out with you and Derek and our single friends, you know.
We all hang out.
Right.
You know.
But we also go out with our couple friends, right?
Like, and we all hang out as well, too.
Yeah. And so.
I'm like the ultimate third wheel.
But I think once people start having kids, I think Aaron nailed it. If you start doing right by their kids and you express some interest in, hey, you know I don't have kids, but and I won't be that guy. Here's the other thing. Don't be the guy who's always bringing around some random chick either to you know, these real interpersonal parties where it's your friends who are all married and who have all known each other for a long time. If you're going to bring around someone, they need to be stick around for a while.
Solid.
Yeah, gal. don't be that
don't
weird
Riley's random girl. Or Riley's random girl. A random girl from the bar.
Yeah, don't be that guy who just shows up with randoms all the time. That is a quick way to get your friends' wives to be like, yo, what's up with your mans? We don't need him here. But absolutely, just I would express, hey, you know I don't have kids. I'm not doing the whole thing. But I'd love to be a part of one of your dinner parties or your kid's birthday. I know your kid's birthday is coming up. I got him something. I'd love to drop by. And I'm telling you, making that level of effort makes a huge difference. Whenever my friend's kid's birthdays come up that I know of, mm-hmm. I always try to get him a little something. Just be like, hey, you know, I know I don't have kids, but, you know, just looking out. So I think that's all really good. And so good luck to you, sir. But you don't need to grow up. Just
Definitely not.
Yeah, there's ways to meet your friends in the middle that are a lot cheaper than getting married or having children, let me tell you.
And don't force anything either. That's the last thing
yes.
you want to do.
Yes, exactly. Let's do one more. I'm having fun with this. Is that good with you guys?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
All right, this one I'll try to knock out kind of quick. And it's titled, My Girlfriend Sucks at Drinking.
Did my husband write this?
This one reads, what up, guys? Thank you for all the laughs over the years. I often watch Monday Night Football on mute until TBP is over. Me and my girlfriend love the show. We feel like we are friends with all of you because we've been listening so long. You are a friend, guy, that I don't know. The reason for my message is I need advice on how to handle my drunk-ass girlfriend. My girlfriend is great overall. I won't list all the wonderful stats like that guy who wrote in a few weeks ago and said she was great in bed. That was weird. It was. But I'll just leave it at she's really awesome, except she sucks at drinking. When we go out for a few, she gets so jacked that she often throws up, oftentimes in the bathroom at the bar.
Damn.
Sometimes she doesn't even make it to the bathroom. She will almost always get really emotional when she drinks and start an argument with me or her friends when she binge drinks.
Perfect.
I have mentioned to her before maybe she should slow down on the shots and drink mixed drinks or even switch to seltzers, which she really enjoys, but nothing seems to dissuade her obnoxious drunk self. I've asked her friends about it before, and they all say pretty much the same thing. Some version of, yeah, she gets a little crazy. It is beyond a little crazy, though. This past weekend, we were asked to leave a bar because she was falling asleep at the booth. I really like her, like I mentioned, but we have been dating for almost a year, and this is how she has been the entire time. To add some context, I am 31. She is 27. Okay. Do you think if I just give her some time, she will come around? Do you think she could be an alcoholic? What should I do? I don't want to break up with her, but I don't want to continue to go out with her socially if she's going to black out every time and make a scene. Thank you in advance. Please bring back Froggy Bars. Tell Derek to stop being so lazy. Tell Derek yourself. He's not here. So you can hit him up at This Is For The Children on Instagram. Let him know. Stop being lazy. Aaron, do you have any advice for our friend and his drunk girlfriend?
Yeah, I mean, she's obviously not going to change, right? Something drastic has to happen. And listen, I've been the girl that's fallen asleep at the bar and thrown up in the bathroom. Who am I kidding? I've for sure done it. And I know that 27 doesn't seem that young, but it's still pretty young.
Yeah.
So, dude, if it's really that big of a deal, I don't know. Let her go. Say, hey, your drinking really is a problem. I can't handle it. And he's only 31. He's also still very young. Like,
why
deal with that? And just, you know, like, you're going to have to hope she fixes it? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It doesn't sound like a recipe for success.
Well, she's not going to fix it for you is the thing. Yeah. She can try, right?
Yeah, she could try.
But unless it comes internally where it's something where she makes the decision, you know, I'm not having a great time or I'm not a great time and I'm going to lose people in my life, it's not going to be a sustainable change in lifestyle. It has to come from within. So, I mean, even if you give her an ultimatum and she decides, okay, I'm going to get it together, maybe it's the wake-up call she needs, and that's enough for her never to go back. But that takes an incredible amount of willpower and desire.
Probably the hardest thing to do.
It is hard.
Yeah, because if she's been doing this for almost a year now, every single time,
yeah,
to dramatically change that, it's going to take some work. And it's up to her.
Cause, yeah.
Because homie could tell her, sit her down, have a serious conversation. She goes, okay, I'm going to give this a shot.
Sure.
And it could, God knows how long it could take, if it does work. You know,
well, and switching up to mixed drinks or seltzers,
yeah, that's,
doesn't
that's not
necessarily
the
curb
that is
the
not
problem.
The problem at all.
Yeah,
she's going to be drinking instead of taking shots, she's going to be drinking seltzers. She's going to be drinking 20 seltzers.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I totally agree that I think you have a conversation with her. You let her know how serious you are. And that's really all you could do, bud, because this sounds like this issue's fairly deep-rooted, and it's not new, and she is young, so...
Yeah, and at the end of the day, is she worth the trouble?
Exactly.
Right, yeah. Right. So best of luck, pal.
Good luck, brother.
Yeah, that's not an easy one. All right, Aaron, hey, thank you for sticking around for a little life and dating advice, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good. Also, there's the match is going to feature Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy on December 10th. So.
Oh, ooh, that'll be a good one.
Day after my birthday. That's going to be a good match.
That'll be a good one.
All right, looking forward to it. Excellent as always, Aaron. We will talk to you next week.
Talk to you later, guys.
All right, thank you. Thank you to Aaron, as always cleaning up the show, getting our poop in a group. do you want to, I was going to do your picks drop, but we got to get to a lot of stuff. So
let's not do the drop.
Okay.
We need to switch it up because last weekend was ugly.
Okay.
Let's see. New week, new money. I'm not talking about last week. A new week is this week. Yes, our boys, the Niners, Sunday Night Football, -7. I'll probably bring it down to -6 against the Chargers at home.
Let's go.
And then who else do I got? Let's see. Sorry, I didn't have this. I got the Dolphins at -4 as well. Let's see, against the Browns at home. And then
I also have
the Cowboys on the road against, the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau Field. And once again... I got them at -4.5.
There you go.
Let's go. Damn, 4.5? I thought it was 6.5. All right, let's go, baby. Let's get that money.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to win some money, Rudy just gave you a couple different ways to do it. All right, Rudy, I was traveling for work this past week.
Right, yeah.
So obviously noted some obnoxious things in my travels, and I'd like to get some of this off my chest if I could.
Yes.
What really grinds my gears?
When people crowd the baggage carousel, listen, you standing closer to the baggage carousel is making it just take longer for everyone else. I have a solution to the problem. Now, I know that the security at the airport already has a strain, but I think we need security guards at baggage claim.
Oh, 100%.
And what they do is if you are standing within 5 feet of the baggage carousel and you're not going specifically in that moment to grab your baggage, you get put in a penalty box. And you have to sit in that penalty box and wait until everyone else who... stood with a proper distance from the baggage carousel. All those people get to go first and get their baggage, and you have to wait until all of them are done.
Your last bag.
Yeah. And then you are released from your little penalty box. Thoughts on my suggestion?
I love it.
You're with it? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Good. All right. I got another one that's just drives me nuts on an airplane.
Okay. You know what really grinds my gears?
When people enter a Southwest flight and they go all the way to the end to drop off the baggage just to swim upstream and fight past the people who are trying to find a seat. Here's the deal. You don't find overhead compartments where you want to sit. You keep it pushing, or you put it underneath the seat in front of you and you just deal with cramped legs. Don't walk upstream. You are making everyone have to wait on you. Mm-hmm. And nothing drives me more nuts in this world than when people do super selfish acts like that. It just takes longer. It's like the people who push up. This also happened on our flight. Let me do this one.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Not only when people stand up when the flight lands, but they start pushing forward.
Oh, that and when people clap when they land.
Oh, my God. Yeah. When you push forward, do you think you're going to get off the flight any quicker?
The damn door's closed, homie. Relax, chill.
Nothing is going to... Yeah. You're not going to get anywhere any faster by pushing to the front of the flight. Yep. I just don't understand these people. Just wait. Yeah, it's all right. You just were on a flight for an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. You can wait five more minutes while people clear out. Exactly. All you're making us do is wait even longer. Yep. Oh, my God.
Everyone's going to get to the same spot at the same time.